Hello, everybody. I'm Parrish Alford.
And I'm Logan Lowry, and this is Double Coverage.
Ole Miss and Mississippi State Talk brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hello, everyone. This is Parrish Alford with the Daily Journal. I'm joined by Logan Lowry, our Mississippi State beat writer. This is Double Coverage, a production of the Daily Journal. We're going to talk Mississippi State and Ole Miss for the next half hour or so, and lots to talk about. Logan, summer is over, man.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I've been at it a little bit sooner than you did. Mississippi State started camp about a week before Ole Miss, so I've been at it for a while, but I don't know that I know any more than you do about your team, Parrish, as it's limited access at camp. Actually got to see a little bit of practice this morning. And that was just the second time I've got to see the team, and didn't get to see any team stuff, just mostly individual drills. So, it's a lot of guesswork in what I'm doing right now, but trying to do the best I can.
Well, how are they stretching, Logan? I'm sure you got to see some stretch.
Did get to see some stretch, and, they looked the part. I got to see them in pads today for the first time. Dan Mullen invited us, a few of the local beat writers, to the farm. We've heard so much about the farm, and I haven't been out to the farm in probably the last 4 or 5 years, so it's been a while since I've been out there, and it was neat to go back out there to that environment. It's a lot hotter than I remember the last time that I went to the farm several years ago, but didn't learn a whole lot out there, just kind of see some guys moving around, kind of seeing where some different guys are lining up, and it's really all I know right now. Didn't get to see a whole lot of team drills, so didn't get to see who was really standing out, performance wise, but did get to see kind of where some guys were lining up, some different strings maybe that some guys were working at, but other than that, I really don't know a whole lot.
You know what, we'll hit some storylines here in just a second. As you mentioned, Mississippi State got started a lot earlier than Ole Miss, and that always creates a problem, Logan. It makes the paper look one-sided. And of course, we were getting emails accusing us of being the Mississippi State paper. And, it would be the other way around if Ole Miss had started first. That's that's how that goes. So I was glad for Ole Miss to get started this week. Folks, before we get going much farther, I want to remind you about The Memo, our news podcast, a production of The Daily Journal with Brad Locke and Derek Russell, comes to you every Wednesday and Friday. Be sure and check out that podcast. We've got Dalton Middleton on preps right now. And, we're kind of missing Gene Phelps. He's retired and in transition there. But Dalton has hit the ground running, doing a great job. And he'll be having a podcast for you for high school sports as well. Let's talk a little bit about some of these storylines, Logan. I guess the biggest, and we'll go ahead and start with Ole Miss, has been the resignation of Hugh Freeze. We haven't had a podcast since that went down on July 20th. Matt Luke, now the interim coach. They've hired Jack McNeil Jr., former Louisiana Tech coach, longtime college coach and NFL assistant, to be the offensive line coach at Ole Miss. So a lot of change going on there, Logan. From the Ole Miss perspective, man, it's just another gut punch, with the NCAA investigation continuing to drag on and the drama surrounding that. The NCAA has responded to the Ole Miss response, and the school is going to make that public, we're told. That response has reached the campus, and the attorneys are going over the paperwork right there, and I'm sure a lot of redactions are taking place. That's where the NCAA investigation stands right now. And soon there will be a date set for an appearance before the Committee on Infractions. That could be a mid-September event. And the investigation just goes on. But we thought the investigation was not going to claim Hugh Freeze. And he's kind of got hit from the side on that, with that Houston Nut lawsuit and the phone records from there. And all of a sudden, there's a call to an escort service, and Hugh Freeze resigns suddenly on July 20th. And on the same day, Matt Luke was promoted as interim coach. And through it all, Logan, what we continue to hear from Ole Miss players is that they are united, that they are together on this, and they're going to fight through, and they're going to focus, and they're going to play football. And as of yet, no transfers have been announced. And, you know, we'll just see where that goes, because August is here. It's a long, hot month. This is training camp, man. They're back on the field. And if some jobs or positions on the team don't work out as some players think they should, I mean, the transfer question is one that's just going to be there a while. But as of yet, no players have left the team for that reason. And Ole Miss just, in a sign, Logan, that maybe all things are normal. Had a couple of arrests earlier this week when Dietrich Bing Dukes, the starting middle linebacker, and Ken Webster, who is coming back from an ACL tear, a guy they really hope will contribute in the secondary, both were arrested on a shoplifting charge. They are suspended for the first game against South Alabama on September the 2nd. They are practicing and getting prepared that way. So here's the thing on that. You know, I looked at that, Logan, and I thought, you know, if you're the interim coach and you're trying to get this job on a permanent basis, you know, you want everything to go right. Well, everything's not going to go right. You know, you're going to have some things like this because this is a football team. But Matt Luke needs to send a stern in-house message. He needs to establish himself right away as a firm disciplinarian and get a hold on this kind of thing, because this is not what he needs. If the players are in fact united and everyone is together and everyone wants to fight through the adversity that they're facing, you know, they can't afford these types of off-the-field distractions. They're going to have enough off-the-field distractions. And I would say probably no team in America was more eager and more ready to get on the field and play football than Ole Miss. So that's your kind of Ole Miss distraction update. On the field, looks like a team that could be explosive on offense with Shea Patterson taking over at quarterback, the number one quarterback in the 2016 signing class. You know, but they don't talk quarterback when they talk about this offense. Logan, what we hear right now is that this offensive line could be really good. And if that's the case, if this group achieves at the level they think it will, and we're talking about a group that has seven players coming back who started multiple games in 2016, a lot of experience. This is a junior line now, sophomore, junior. These guys have played a lot, and you've got a five-star signee at left tackle in Greg Little, a lot of talent, a lot of ability with this group. If they achieve like they think they can, this offense could be pretty good. The receivers are there. The quarterback is there. I think people are overlooking this team in the run game with the return of Justin Wilkins and some other backs there. I think they could be pretty good there. Very interested to see how that comes about with new offensive coordinator Phil Longo. You know, when you have that combination, those three components of an offensive line that you think can be really good, a more creative running scheme and depth at running back, plus a guy like Wilkins coming back. He was their best back, I thought, Logan, at the end of 2015. He was running with a lot of strength and physicality, running over people. You remember some of those runs he had in the Egg Bowl in Starkville in 2015. You know, so adding him back in the mix is a huge boost for the run game. I think this can be a really good offense, and we'll see when the games start coming around. September 2nd to get started with South Alabama. Let's go back to the Bulldogs a little bit, Logan. Tell me, you know, just a couple of storylines, things that you want to see, not that you're going to get to see much in camp, but what are some storylines around this team right now?
Well, I'll start off with the offense. I mean, obviously, the quarterback position is much different than it was a year ago, going into camp last year. Four guys vying for that starting job: Nick Fitzgerald, Elijah Staley, Damian Williams, and Nick Tiano. All those guys were fighting for that number one spot last year. Three of those guys have since transferred. I mean, and Nick Fitzgerald assumed that starting job, started every game for Mississippi State last year, and, you know, led the SEC in total offense, and just all the numbers that he put up, all the rushing numbers especially. But Dan Mullen wants to see him progress as a passer, and that's kind of what he's been working on. in the offseason. Didn't get to see a whole lot of that passing progression during the spring game. He threw three interceptions in that spring game, but it's really his job to, you know, it, obviously he's going to be the number one starter, but kind of behind him, it's a big question mark. Obviously, Keaton Thompson is a highly rated recruit, four-star guy. He arrived, graduated high school, arrived in January. So he got to go through spring. He got to go through the full summer off season. He, according to Brett Elliott, Mississippi State's quarterbacks coach, according to Dan Mullen, who's known as a quarterback guru anyway, he's ahead of schedule. He's a few chapters ahead of where a true freshman normally is at this stage of his career. But, you know, Dan Mullen also said that sometimes he has to remind himself that this is just a true freshman here. And they're trying to give this guy a chance because he's going to be their number two quarterback. He's the only other scholarship quarterback on the roster this year. So he's going to go out there. He's going to play this year. And it's not an ideal situation, but obviously you saw some talent from the kid in the spring. I mean, he doesn't look like a freshman at all. He's 6'5", probably about 225, a big, tall kid, very athletic, very much a dual threat guy, got a big, strong arm, can run the ball. He should be a very good weapon in Dan Mullen's spread offense in the future. But right now it's Nick Fitzgerald's offense to run. And, you know, I think what's going to help Nick Fitzgerald this season is having an established running back. Aris Williams, towards the end of last season, the West Point native, really came on at running back and really established himself as the number one guy down the stretch last year and obviously coming into this season as well as a junior. So he's going to be the number one guy. There's a lot of backs kind of vying for some carries right after him. They got Nick Gibson, Dontavian Lee, Alec Murphy, and then the true freshman Kylan Hill coming in. So a lot of talented backs right there behind him, not a lot of production from those guys. The three guys that played a little bit last year, Lee and Murphy and Gibson, really just didn't get a whole lot of carries because they had Ashton Shumpert and Brandon Holloway on the roster. So they had a bevy of running backs back there. Didn't get a whole lot of touches last year because all their games were so close. There really wasn't just a huge opportunity to play any of those guys an extended amount of snaps. But, you know, State's going to have to figure out some stuff in the receiving game. Losing Fred Ross was a huge loss for this group. Donald Gray is back. He's their most accomplished receiver. He's going to be kind of their go-to guy. He needs some other guys to step up around him, and that's kind of where guys like Osiris Mitchell, like Jamal Couch, like Reggie Todd, all three of those guys are 6'4". They're looking for some production out of those big, tall receivers, and they need the tight ends to kind of help with that as well. They really feel really good about their tight end group with Farad Green and Justin Johnson, Jordan Thomas. All those guys played kind of as role players last year for the first time, and they really need those guys to step up and kind of be the more established players because they've got so many young receivers on this roster. And then looking at the offensive line, they have one of the top linemen in the whole conference, if not the whole country, in Martinez Rankin. He spent all of spring working at center, and he's going to move back out to left tackle. He's going to be their left tackle, and he's rated pretty highly on some of these NFL, you know, draft projections and all this kind of stuff. He was the number one left tackle, junior college left tackle in the country coming out of junior college. So, you know, big things have been expected from him. He played some last year. I think he started 10 games at left tackle. He'll get that job again this year. It's going to be different to see kind of how the offensive line sort of shakes up. I mean, Elgton Jenkins is a guy that's coming back off an injury. Deion Calhoun, they're moving a true freshman Stuart Reese out to right tackle. And then Darrell Williams, who suffered the neck injury at Kentucky last year, he's playing left guard. So, some question marks along that offensive line, a little bit of experience coming back along that offensive line. We'll have to kind of see how they gel together. But they've got a really nice group, and they've got some second-string offensive linemen. They've got a little bit of experience as well because of all the injuries they suffered last year. So we'll have to kind of see how the offense goes. But I think they'll be okay on that side of the ball.
Was it Hill who was arrested this morning?
It was, yeah. Kylan Hill was arrested yesterday afternoon. It was one of their it was actually Mississippi State's first mandatory day off that the NCAA is instituting this year. And that's kind of why State's camp is so spread out, because they have to take that mandatory day off each week. And That was it for Mississippi State yesterday. He got arrested. He was driving 120 miles an hour, Parrish, down the road. So,
Well, you mentioned about the speed on offense. It's there.
It is, yeah. He's a true freshman coming in, local guy from Columbus, highly touted, four-star kid, one of the top running backs in the country. It's really a huge question because he's so talented. I mean, he looks the part. You see him out there at practice. He doesn't look like a true freshman at all. Kid's ripped. I mean, he looks like he's ready to go play right away. But obviously, he has to learn his playbook and that kind of stuff. But I mentioned all those running backs that they have. I just don't know that you need to play Kylan Hill this season. I mean, obviously, he could come out and contribute right away. But, with so many running backs in the mix, I don't know how many carries he actually gets this year if you do decide to play him as a true freshman. And him getting arrested, that could play into Dan Mullen's decision to redshirt him this year. We'll have to kind of see how that goes. Dan Mullen was asked about that after practice today, and he said he's not going to face any punishment from the team itself, and he's going to have to pay some fines and all that kind of stuff, go through some legal matters, but there's not going to be any suspensions or anything like that. He was back out at practice this morning, so we'll have to kind of see how it goes from here. But like I said, that could be a strike against him if you're a true freshman trying to get out on the field and you do something stupid like that. You may have to end up paying the consequences and redshirting this year.
Is Dan Mullen concerned at all that Leo Lewis and Kobe Jones, the lawsuit against them from Rebel Rags and whatnot, about that taking their mind off football? Is that a distraction for those guys in any way?
Yeah, they're not answering any questions about that kind of stuff right now. All they'll talk about is how those two guys are performing on the field. But, kind of some back, just hearing things and stuff from the program, they're not worried about that at all. It's really not that big of a deal here in Starkville, just, judging by the gauge and the pulse of what things are said, around the program. You just don't hear that much about it. Those guys are – expected to play this year. Kobe Jones will play for the first time as a redshirt freshman. It'll be Leo Lewis is a redshirt sophomore, was an all SEC freshman last year. And they're looking for big things to come out of him playing middle linebacker this year in Todd Grantham's defense.
Well, let's talk about the Rebels defensively. New coordinator and Wesley McGriff bringing a lot of energy to that side of the ball. Looks very different. Dave Womack was more the professor kind of guy, just older and arms crossed, stood there, surveyed everything, wasn't a rah-rah guy. In terms of personality, Wesley McGriff could not be more opposite than he is from Dave Womack. And we heard Hugh Freeze, while he was still coach, talking about the energy that McGriff brings to the position. And we've heard Matt Luke mention that as well. Whether that's, energy is great, but what he needs to bring to the position is improvement, because they were atrocious on that side of the ball last year. He thought the defense took some strides in the spring, McGriff did, but he said leaving spring that he wanted to see this group get better up the middle. So the arrest and one-game suspension of Dietrich Bing-Dukes, the starting middle linebacker, is not a good place to start, but he thinks that they can be better there. He thinks Bing-Dukes can be a solid middle linebacker if they can keep him in the middle of the field and just let him do the things that come naturally to him, and that's be a strong physical player and a good tackler. The problem will be when a creative offensive coordinator comes through and finds a way to isolate Bing-Dukes in pass coverage. Wesley McGriff is going to have an answer for that, so I'm sure he's working on that. And continuing the theme of getting better up the middle, they want to see improved play from the safeties. You've got a guy penciled in Zedrick Woods, a junior, at the free safety, but strong safety was it was a free for all in the spring. A lot of guys moving in and out there, and while Ken Webster will sit out the first game, he has been cleared to practice. He's coming back from the ACL tear in the season opener against Florida State last year. Eric Swinney, the running back, also injured in that game with an ACL tear. He also is back and practicing in his full go. But Webster has been a cornerback his entire career. He was working with the safeties on the first day of practice. Doesn't mean that's where he'll play, but that is a conversation that's going on. And number one, we'll see how healthy he is and how much he can stay on the field to begin with. Number two, will that be corner or safety? That remains to be seen. But they are trying to improve the safeties, and it might be that Ken Webster can help them do that. I'll tell you this, before the injury last year, going into that Florida State game, he was in the best shape of his career. Logan, I don't get all caught up. I know you don't either, in the weights and measurements. And everybody's excited when they're lifting weights in the summer, and everybody's getting bigger, stronger, faster. We hear that all the time. But Ken Webster was a guy who really looked different at the beginning of camp in 2016. You could tell that he was bigger. You could tell he was stronger, and there were high expectations for Ken Webster before that ACL tear last year. Now, getting better defensively, I think the Rebels have a chance to do that with their defensive line if Breland Speaks comes through and shows the energy and plays the way he played in the spring. Speaks kind of fell off the map last year, lost a starting job in the last third of the year, really didn't contribute much down the stretch. This is a guy that they really had high expectations for. The graduation, moving on of Robert Kimdichie, but Speaks really did not live up to that billing last year. That wasn't the case in the spring. Hugh Freeze, Wesley McGriff had high praise for Breland Speaks from the beginning. So if he is a producer at that four technique, you know, it will be big things, big news for Ole Miss. They've got a solid nose tackle returning in Benito Jones, a sophomore, an all-SEC freshman last year. And, of course, at one end they have Marquise Haynes, who could have gone to the NFL last year, looked at his options, chose to come back. You know, so a huge pass rushing presence off the end with Marquise Haynes. And on the other end, they've got some guys that you haven't heard a lot of, but may, as the season progresses, Kadir Shepherd, a transfer from Syracuse, big physical defensive end, bigger than Marquise Haynes. And Victor Evans, now a fourth-year junior, kind of coming on behind him. They've got a possibility behind Haynes as well with Charles Wiley, the redshirt freshman. So a lot of these names haven't been on the field yet, but there's athleticism there. They have a chance to be good. And if they are, if you just have a line that gets off blocks and makes plays, that's going to help those linebackers. That's going to free them up to be more mobile and get to where they need to be faster and be bigger hitters. So, you know, we'll see. But that's you know, surely Ole Miss has to get better defensively, and they have some players that, you know, I think they could do that. But there are some question marks along the way, too. Got to get better at linebacker, got to be in position, and they're going to have to improve that play with the safeties as well. They like what they have at cornerbacks. Right now, D.D. Bowie, the freshman from Morton, highly skilled player. He starts out at cornerback. He may end up with the safeties. Another freshman who was getting some reps with the second team earlier this week, kind of a surprise, Braylon Sanders, a wide receiver. And I say a surprise only because Ole Miss is so deep at that position with the redshirt freshman DK Metcalf. Got his year back, played in those first two games, but was able to reclaim that year. So he is classed as a redshirt freshman. A.J. Brown of Starkville, the sophomore. Big expectations for those two guys, big, physical, strong receivers, and both very gifted athletically. And that's before you even get to Van Jefferson, who really was an outstanding, consistent slot receiver last year. And there's depth behind those guys as well. Ole Miss has four wide receivers who were four-star recruits in high school. They really have concentrated on that position, really recruited to it well. So, they're going to be a big part of this offense. Logan, defensively, new coordinator at Mississippi State. What do you think happens there?
Yeah, shocking. A new coordinator at Mississippi State going into the season. Seems like that's the case just about every year that Dan Mullen's been in Starkville. But It was a needed change. I mean, obviously, Peter Sermon's defense didn't work at all last year. I mean, there were talented players on Mississippi State's defense, and I don't think it was so much a lack of talent. You know, I think they had plenty of talent. It just was a scheme. I mean, I don't think they were in the right position on a lot of those big plays that they gave up last year, especially against the run. They were horrid against the run. And, you know, even against the pass, they weren't very good at that either. And, you know, they've got talent. They just were in the wrong spots. But Todd Grantham comes in, a guy that's you know, Peter Sermon was a first-time defensive coordinator last year. Todd Grantham's been at this thing for a long time at the NFL, at college football. He's been at Georgia. He's been at Louisville, been at several stops along the way. And he's running a similar defense. They're not going to switch up scheme. They switched to a 3-4 last year. They're going to run a 3-4 primarily this year. But it's a different type of 3-4. Todd Grantham's defense over the years have been known to be very, very good against the run. I think over the last two or three years, his defenses at Louisville have been only second to Alabama in yards per carry allowed. So they're getting the job done against the run, and he's also known for rushing the passer, getting a lot of sacks and creating havoc on that side of the ball as well. So that's something Mississippi State definitely needs. They didn't get very much pass rush last year. We're horrid against the run. Those are two areas they're going to need to improve on this year. But they've got some talent on that side of the ball. And he talked a little bit this week about some of the defensive leaders that have kind of stood up and some of the guys you would kind of expect to be the leaders on that side of the ball. And kind of a few surprises there as well. I mean, fifth-year senior Des Harris, he called him one of the leaders. That's no surprise there. He's been there for, I think this is his fifth year. He's come back from three different knee surgeries, two at Mississippi State, one his senior year of high school. So he's a guy that's been around and really leading that group. Gary Green as well, another linebacker. Gary Green's going to play the outside linebacker, kind of like the role that they had last year that had a couple of guys in there, that Viper position. It's not called that this year, but –
I like that name, Logan. I like Viper.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to call it this year. We haven't been told yet. You know, they come up with all those kind of weird names like that. But it's kind of a hybrid defensive end outside linebacker spot. There's going to be a few guys playing that this year. But Gary Green is moving back out there. I think that kind of fits his role. He's about 6'3", 6'4", around that 230 range probably. So he's kind of that tweener. And you see that a lot of guys of that size, especially at the next level in the NFL, kind of playing in that 3-4 scheme. Those kinds of guys didn't really surprise me being leaders on that side of the ball. The two that kind of did surprise me was true sophomore Jeffrey Simmons. He mentioned him as one of the leaders on that side of the ball. And, you know, I saw Jeffrey play some in high school. You know, it really wasn't surprising his leadership, but this soon in his career at Mississippi State, he's just going into his second season and remains in a leadership role. And another guy that just arrived back in January, Jonathan Abram. He mentioned him as one of the four leaders on defense already, and that was really surprising. A guy that, you know, was coming in from junior college, you know, had only been there a few months, but he's gotten the respect from his teammates and already considered one of the leaders. Jonathan Abrams really going to help. He's a safety. He has a year of experience. He played safety at Georgia as a true freshman, transferred to Jones County Junior College last season, played there. He's one of four players on the defensive side of the ball that already has Division I experience that they brought in back in January from junior college. Montez Sweat, kind of that outside linebacker, defensive end, hybrid kind of guy. He played a year at Michigan State, actually played a year plus at Michigan State, and ended up co-lin last year. And then Chauncey Rivers from EMCC, he played a year at Georgia. And ended up at EMCC last year and bounced back. And then Brian Cole, who actually played wide receiver at Michigan as a true freshman. He transferred to EMCC last year, switched to safety. And he's kind of been working at safety and corner so far in fall camp. He worked at safety all the spring. He's working a little bit at corner. They don't really like their numbers at corner right now. Just they like the talent they have there. It's just some of the numbers, and they're trying to get him ready. You know, they still saying that he's going to play safety, but they're trying to work him in there at corner so he'll know both spots if he ends up having to play there. But, you know, I think Jamal Peters is really surprised a lot of people how quickly he grasps cornerback after switching there from safety last year about midway through the season. They kind of just threw him out there at cornerback. And, you know, by the end of the year, you could start to see that light come on for him a little bit. He had that big interception in the end zone there in the Egg Bowl last year that you remember, Parrish. And, you know, he's a guy that, you know, a big, long corner. He's 6'2", you know, probably about 210. So he's a huge guy playing corner, but he has the athletic ability and the speed to keep up with receivers. And that's going to bode well for them playing against teams that have multiple tall receivers. They've also got a redshirt freshman, Cam Dantzler, who's 6'3", kind of a long, lanky guy. Look, he reminds me a lot of Jonathan Banks, kind of a long, lanky type of corner. But you saw his skill in the spring game. He had two interceptions, one of which he returned for a touchdown in the spring game. So big things expected from him. But, you know, Todd Grantham, it really needs to turn things around and turn things around in a hurry on that side of the ball. And, you know, all indications so far are that he's going to be able to do that.
Folks, that's it for this edition of Double Coverage, a production of the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal. We thank you for clicking in with us today. Be sure to check out The Memo, our news podcast with Brad Locke and Derek Russell. That comes to you every Wednesday and Friday, all things Northeast Mississippi. And Logan and I will be back with you next week for another round of Double Coverage.